I wish as I so desire? Or are you envious because I am generous? Thus the last will be first, and the first will be last. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Here we have it. In our gospel today, what do we find? We find that our Lord is beckoning souls to come and to work within his vineyard. And something that may occur to you and I as Catholics is to ask the question, well, is this fair? Is it fair what our Lord does? Think of it yourselves. You heard the gospel. There are all these people who are laying out there as day laborers. They want work. They're out there. And some come out in those early hours of the morning taking that, yes, you want to employ me, I'll go right away, while others remain idle. And so the landowner says there's so much more work to be done. Well, is there anybody who wishes to come work at noon? He goes out again. Is there anybody who wishes to work at 3? Out again and again and again. The landowner goes out because there's so much work to be done. He even goes out at 5 o'clock, and that's the hour we usually punch out a clock. Punch out if we don't punch out early. And here he's still going and finding still others and saying, why have you not come? You want to work? Come, I will pay you the day's wage. And so they come eagerly in this last hour. Well, when it comes time to be paid, the last ones get their payment first, and the rest say, well, if they're getting this much, how much am I going to get? And they're disappointed. They're angry, in fact, with the landowner because they work so much harder than everybody else, but they're getting the same? Does that sound fair? I want you to know that nobody's raising their hands and saying that's a fair thing. None of you are, and you're right. It's not fair. It's absolutely not fair that those who worked harder, that those who bore the labor, the heat, that those who were out there since the crack of dawn working hard, laboring, get paid the same as those who really just came in at the tail end and maybe just had enough time to get their gloves on before it was the end of the day and the whistle blew, and they still got the same wage. But when we look at things in this way, the apparent arbitrariness of that landowner who says, well, since I'm the boss, I can do with whatever it is that I want, it's only a worldly decoy containing the mystery of God's freedom, which is the very opposite of what arbitrariness is. The Lord God isn't arbitrary in the way he rewards those who serve him. What is the only reward that our God has? Really, he just has one reward. What is that? You're looking at it. Right there on the cross. That's the reward. That's the only reward that God has. That is to say, the only thing he has to give is his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. He's got one daily wage, one wage for a life. Your life for his life. The Lord makes that trade. The Lord God does. He has that one wage to give. That's the only thing, the single, whole, and undivided, all-sufficient Son who did not spare his own Son but gave him up for us all. Will he not also give us all things with him as well? That's from Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And here's the point. The point of the whole of the gospel here is that precisely that infinitely bountiful mercy of Christ, which is impossible for any one of you and I to merit. We don't merit God's goodness, his grace, his love. There's nothing you can do to earn it. It's a gift of God. That's all it is. It's God's gift directly for you. It's impossible for us, and that puts itself lovingly in the place of the sinner in order to justify him before the holiness of God and make him worthy of participating in God's own holy life. That's why this is the fulfillment of righteousness. Because God's justice, even while he is condemning sin, and God condemns every sin, there's not a single sin that he approves of, even in the least bit. Yet, he always tends in the direction of justifying the sinner and in raising him to the fullness of life. God doesn't want any sinner to die within his sin. He always extends mercy, even though so many neglect it and push it aside, slap God's hand as he seeks to give it. Share with you something about today. We walked around the entire bounds of the parish today and prayed the rosary many, many, many times. There was quite a number of us who did that together, walking more than 7 miles, most of us, many of us, being barefoot the whole time as a thing of penance. And what did people do as we smiled and passed them by carrying the cross and praying? How did they react to us? You know your town. Obsceneness. Cursings. Obscene gestures on many of them. That's the way so much of the world responds to God's love. But yet God continually pours it out, hoping that one time, in one moment, that it will get through to somebody. Even if it's not at the beginning of their life, maybe it'll be at the end of their life, as our Lord speaks about here within the gospel. And so, this unheard of event could not have happened before the incarnation of the Word made possible God's humiliation in Christ, before the crucified, blessed Lord Jesus Christ himself became the first of those whose abundant love makes them thirst unto death for the fulfillment of righteousness. It is purely a gift which is divine. That redemptive conception of righteousness that Jesus is teaching in this parable, which is therefore the revelation of the depths of his own superabundant love. It's sheer madness, isn't it? It's absolute madness that God would give himself to a world that would reject him. But that's our God. Jesus pays our wages in his own blood, which is enough to nourish us throughout all of eternity. And he does it before he's received anything good from us. He does it even if we don't return it at all. The whole exhausting process of the Lord, the Master, going out and hiring at different times during the day is nothing but the accomplishment of the work of God himself. And the climax comes at that sunset moment of paying out the wages. What God is doing here is he's setting up a drama just like you'd watch and get excited about seeing in a movie or a TV. The drama has been set up by the landowner, the Lord, in order to provoke a conversion in not the world's hearts, but in our hearts who follow God and seek to come and spend time with him. He wants to prick our consciences to see things as God sees them. He wants to illuminate our hearts, a true conversion moment, so that we can actually see what the kingdom of God really looks like. So what is this parable? It's a catechesis meant to transform natural human beings and natural human pagan values and mentality into a Christian mentality, a Christian values with a generous mind and redeeming heart of nobody else but our Lord Christ. That is to say, so that we can convert and be capable of bearing the full joy and glory of a kingdom where every breath is an act of God's love. God's generous. God's generous to those who hurt you and me. God's generous to those who look down on you and me. God's generous to those who cheat you and me. Far more generous than we would be. And so what does he call us out to do? As he says, be like me. Hold out hope that every sinner who strikes you on the left cheek, and maybe does so on the right as well, and maybe repeats that over and over and over again, pray that with each time they strike you, maybe it'll be the last, Lord. And maybe that'll be for their conversion, that they'll see where they've gone wrong. And even at least maybe in that last moment, they'll see that I tried to love them in the same way when you were handed over, betrayed, led to your death, you loved them even as they struck you. And that's a hard way to live our lives. But that's the way Christ leads us. And if you're struggling with that right now, and I do too, where should you and I go? A la Virgen Dolorosa. Go to our sorrowful mother. She knows what it's like. She'll intercede for you. She'll join you. She'll hold your hand, lock arms with you along the way. She has every virtue. So go to her. Let's go to her right now and think of that person, maybe in your life, who is toughest to love, who you struggle with, who's wounded you so deeply. We're going to ask our Lord to forgive them as we go to Our Lady to give us the strength to do the same and ask for their conversion, and thereby doing an act of love for them, which means, at least in that small respect, we let go of the grudge and begin more living out the kingdom of God. We'll pray for them right now. We've got them in mind. Now we'll pray that Ave. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.